So this week, we're continuing our series on family God's way. And we're going to look at communication, especially between wives and husbands, but also just communication in general, and how relationships work. When I started to get ready for this message, I started to think about the word respect, as Pastor Hildebrandt kindly assigned me the title, All I Need Is Respect. And so there was two people that came into my mind. I'm guessing you know both of them. Right? At least some of the older folks in the crowd, right? Teenagers, you might not know exactly who these people are. But you should Google them because they're really cool people. So the first one is Rodney Dangerfield. And he made a comedic career out of respect, or maybe the lack thereof. As you can see, his telltale line was always, I tell you, I get no respect. And then this time he says, my wife wanted to bake a turkey, but she said I couldn't fit into the oven. He had many other wonderful lines like that. Now the other person, this is the hallmark person for me about respect, is Aretha Franklin. And she's one of the ones that brought it out to the people as she spelled it out, R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Y'all know the song, right? I mean, I can get my phone out and play it for y'all if y'all need, but I really don't want to do that because then it's not good. But the song goes that way, right? It's talking about respect. And one of the interesting things about this song is it's not an Aretha song. Did y'all know that? It's actually by one of my other favorite artists from that time who wrote a song called Sitting on the Dock of the Bay, Otis Redding. And when he wrote that song, he wrote it from the perspective of a husband looking for his wife to give him a little bit more respect. But the interesting thing happened when Aretha flipped it and then kind of made it the hallmark song of the 60s women's movement, where she needed respect, and women of that age needed respect. And when that flip happened, the explosion from this song, which Otis's version isn't that as good. If you go listen to it, you can tell me what you think, but it's not as good. And she made it into the anthem that it is, that it'll be remembered probably for many, many years to come. Both of these folks taught us culturally what it means to need respect. And so I think when we think about relationships, respect is a huge deal. So I want to ask you guys, what does it mean to respect? I thought you might do that. So here's what it means. So the verb respect means to consider worthy of high regard or esteem. Or it also means to refrain from interfering with, i.e. please respect my privacy. Now, when we think about relationships, we're definitely going with number A, or the first one, right? It's about having someone that thinks well of you, that thinks that you're always doing well, or at least puts the best construction on things. And as we look at the Bible in our New Testament lesson from the Gospel today in Matthew, we see the opposite of that happening. You see, Jesus tells us a parable, a story that kind of flips respect on its head. You know, the tenants are horrible, aren't they? They continue to refuse to do what they're asked each time a messenger comes. One of the other workers comes to see them from the landowner. Now, here's the backstory to it. The servants that he's talking to are the Pharisees and the other religious leaders. That's who his crowd is. And he's talking to them very pointedly and essentially pointing the finger at them, reminding them that they scorned or disrespected all the messengers, all the prophets that God sent throughout the history of Israel to try to encourage them, to try to help them to know what they needed to know. You see, they are the tenants, the Pharisees and the religious leaders. And now the owner, who is God the Father, has literally sent his son down to conduct business, to bring things back into order. And the father trusts that they will take care of his son, that they will respect the son. However, what happens? Business is normal, right? The tenants say, we're not going to respect the son. In fact, we're going to keep up our bad behavior, and we're going to kill the son so we can steal his inheritance. In real life, this is one of those times where the Pharisees got really mad, and they started plotting to kill Jesus so they could take his inheritance, right? But that's not how the story ends. You see, the owner comes back with an army and takes back what belongs to him. And he puts it under new management. You see, Jesus came to restore the story, to fulfill the promise that God made in the beginning of the world. He has come to bring hope and life into each of our stories. And the respect that God has for all of us. Because you are the new tenants. You are the ones that God designed to take care of the vineyard. You have been filled with His grace and His mercy, His love and respect that God has desired for all people from the beginning of the time of the world till the time when Jesus comes riding back on the clouds. Now, one of the other images that I really love in terms of Jesus and the Bible talking about the church and the relationship to Jesus is that of a wedding. The bride and the groom. Now, Jesus is the ultimate bridegroom who comes to bring us, his church, to the wedding feast. And I've always loved this imagery, especially as I've done premarital counseling with some of y'all and lots of other folks through the years. Because it gives that perfect picture. Now, the interesting thing about that is there's always one verse that receives the most discussion. Can you guess which one it is? You're right. It's the one we just read earlier, right? In Ephesians. You guessed it. It's the love and respect passage where the husbands or the prospective grooms, they get this really big smile for about 30 seconds or so, while Paul's telling their prospective wives to do what? Submit, right? You got to submit to your husband. Now, this morning, we're going to dig into that text a little bit because I want to look at it a little bit deeper to see what Paul is actually saying to us in terms of our relationships today. Here's a spoiler alert, okay? Husbands, it's not going to go the way you think it's going to go, all right? You probably already knew that, though. Potentially, if you came through premarital counseling with me. Now, the interesting thing about this is when we usually read this verse in weddings, we start at verse 22. So we're starting in the middle, okay? And when we cut off the beginning, we're cutting off kind of the most important part of this verse. As you see, it says, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Now, as the interesting thing is, if you dig into the Greek, you get that fancy word. Can you all say that word with me? Hypotassamenoi. Right? You got it. Three times fast, right? So what that means is be submitting of yourselves. And so that's what he starts it off with. Is he says, submit yourselves to each other out of reverence for Christ. And then that's when he continues on with wives submit. So I underlined both of those words for you because in the English, we get two submits. In the Greek language, guess how many there are? One. Guess which one it is? The first one. Okay, now in the language, in the Greek language, there's no periods, there's no commas, so when you look at the verse, it kind of makes sense to have that submit in the second part there. But what I think the Greek and this language is telling us more is Paul saying, all of y'all have to submit to each other. It's not just wives. Husbands, you have to submit to your wife as well. You have to respect your wife. And then as we move a few verses on into the Ephesians reading, Paul switches gears a little bit. And he goes from the wives now to he's talking to the husbands. And the word that he uses this time is the word love in the English. And this is a common word, right, that we talk about all the time in relationships. But the command that Paul gives here is that Christ would love the church, right? How did he love the church? More than anything. The husbands, you guys have to do the same thing, okay? You have to be willing to give up yourself for her. Now again, the Greek word that he uses here is agape, which is that self-sacrificing, unconditional love that God has for us. The kind of love that pours into another person. The kind of love that Paul wants us to have for our wives. The kind of love, just as it says there, where you're ready to give up your life for your wife. And so as we travel a little bit further in this Ephesians passage, Paul closes out the reading in verse 33 by recapping his commands, his exhortations to people. And so it's all about love and respect. Love your wife, guys. Ladies, respect your husbands. And I believe the reason why Paul uses these two words here is simply because the natural inclination for us as people is to do the other one better. Wives generally have the love thing down. They take care of us as husbands, right? When we get sick, they take care of us. Even when they're sick, they take care of us, right? Maybe that's not the expectation in your house, but sometimes it happens in mine. But husbands, you guys usually have the respect part down, right? The love part may be a little bit more difficult sometimes, but that's why I think Paul uses it wording this way, is to encourage us to use both equally so that we're loving and respecting our spouses. There's a book I really like called Love and Respect. It's by Dr. Emerson Eggerichs, and it's extremely helpful in learning how to live in a relationship with your spouse. It's a great tool to learn how to do it before you say I do, but then also for enrichment after you've said I do. So one of the sections in this book talks about the energizing cycle. That's how to put more growth, put more action and energy and passion into your marriage. And so what he talks about there is he just follows Ephesians 5:33. Husbands, love your wife. Wives, respect your husband, okay? And so he uses two different analogies and acronyms to kind of help husbands and wives understand this. The first one he goes through is for the husband, which is to love your wife. And he uses the image of couple. And the reason why he chose that, he says, is because women want to have closeness. And so the couple image shows that closeness. You're sitting together, you're holding hands. And then for men, he uses the image chairs. And we'll talk about that in just a minute. But for couples, if you kind of look down the list, it kind of unfolds each part of that closeness, of that openness, understanding, peacemaking, loyalty, esteem. So did he sneak in respect there at the end? Yep, right? Respect and esteem are just almost the same word, just a little different. But for guys, he used the image of a chair. And he used that because he said, guys like to be in the driver's seat of relationships, right? They want to be in the driver's seat of the marriage. And probably other relationships in their life as well. And so for them, the kind of the energizing cycle is conquest, hierarchy, authority, insight, relationship, and sexuality. And Pastor Russ talked a little bit about that last week. So if you have questions, you can go ask him, right? Actually, if you have questions, I'd be happy to talk to you about it. Just come talk to me in private, not up here. All right. But these are some things that are helpful, I think, as you continue to have good communication, as you continue to build your relationship, whether you're on day one of the relationship or whether you're on year 60 plus. So as we continue to build and grow in our relationships, did you know we're modeling them for our kids, for our grandkids, for all the other people that we encounter? Even if you're not married, as you interact with other folks and you build your relationships, you're modeling the love and the respect that Christ has for you with the rest of the world. I'd like to share just a little brief story with y'all. It comes from the Brothers Grimm, who wrote a bunch of fairy tales. And this one happened to be, I think, translated or written in 1905. Pastor Russ showed it to me a couple months ago, and I just loved it, so I thought I'd share it with you guys today. It's called An Old Man and His Grandson. There once was a very old man whose eyes had become dim, his ears dull of hearing, his knees trembled, and when he sat at the table, he could hardly hold the spoon and spilled the broth on the tablecloth or let it run out of his mouth. His son and his son's wife were disgusted at this. So the old grandfather at last had to sit in the corner behind the stove, and they gave him his food in an earthenware bowl, and not even enough of it. And he used to look towards the table with eyes full of tears. Once, too, his trembling hands could not hold the bowl, and it fell to the ground and broke. The young wife scolded him, but he said nothing and only sighed. Then they brought him a wooden bowl for a few halfpence, out of which he had to eat. They were once sitting like this when the little grandson of 4 years old began to gather together some bits of wood upon the ground. "What are you doing there?" asked his father. "I am making a little trough," answered the child, "for father and mother to eat out of when I am big." The man and his wife looked at each other for a while and presently began to cry. Then they took the old grandfather to the table and henceforth always let him eat with them. And from there on, said nothing if he did spill a little bit of anything. So this is a powerful story, especially in the ending. And in all the years of ministry, I don't know that I've ever seen this play out. But I know that as we teach respect and honor by living it daily, it is caught. There is a story that Jill Gardner told me a little bit earlier. She was on a mission trip to Honduras a few years ago with the church. And there was a 16-year-old kid who carried his grandmother down to get help, down a mountain, and had to hold her the entire time because they didn't have the ability to have a wheelchair or anything. And then after she got taken care of, guess what he did? He went all the way back up the mountain carrying his grandmother. So there's the ability to show that honor and that respect on a daily basis. And it still happens today. But what I'd like to ask you today, as you think about this week, is how can you show love and respect to your spouse in a better way? How can you grow this week? How can you show love and respect to your parents, or maybe it's your kids, to the people that God places in your life, to grow in that this week? Amen. And may the peace of God guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus every day. Amen.